If there's one thing that we all know about me, it's that I'm constantly fixating on my health.
We know, baby. We know.
It's like I'm always trying a new thing. I'm trying a new diet, a new workout, a new gadget. Just trying to find out what really works and what's fact versus fiction.
Yeah, and I'm constantly researching, usually for Taryn to look up some new illness or ailment and try to calm her down. But also, since being in my 30s, I'm really focused on getting my health in tip-top shape, realizing how I eat and how I move is going to affect me, not just right now, but 10, 20 years down the road. And with us wanting to have a baby this year, health is just more important than ever to us. So all of this research has finally led to something good. Let us introduce you to the Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast. With the help of world-leading scientists, they help you make smarter health choices every week.
And you don't have to take our word for it. Avid podcast fan Stephanie left an Apple review that says, "The Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast is a life-changing, science-based, myth-busting podcast that's a must-listen for anyone who eats food and wants to understand how it affects their body."
If you're ready to join millions of others like Stephanie transforming their health, then search for Zoe Science and Nutrition wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Staying Up with Cammie and Taryn. I'm Cammie.
And I'm Taryn. And every night we get to have a sleepover, but every week we invite you to join us. Thanks for staying up.
Thanks for staying up.
Hi, baby.
Hi, honey.
How are you doing? Not so hot.
Just still sick. I've been sick for hot flashes is what I've been experiencing. Fever symptoms.
Crampton has been feverish.
Oh my god, it's been rough, y'all. Which is why this episode is a day late, so we apologize. I'm gonna do my best to not be Debbie Downer. I have something in my eye, so we're starting off really strong. Yeah, I'm gonna try my best to be fun.
Cam's cool. Commitment to the pod is wild. I said, "Baby, we can skip a week. You're sick." And she said, "Not on my fucking watch.
Not on my watch, bitch.
Not for my peepees.
No.
Oh my god, you guys.
Peepees deserve it.
Peepees. We saw.
What? What did we see?
We went to the gas station.
I didn't go anywhere.
Well, so I tried to take Cammie out of the house, like a little hurt little excursion creature. Yeah, I'm like, "Honey, maybe we need the sunlight and maybe we need to move around." And so we put her in my car. And I had to get gas. And there was this really cool, like, old truck next to us.
Yeah.
And then Cammie's like, "Babe, look at that man's hat. He's wearing a peepee hat."
It was just like a cool looking, like, tattered hat, and just a peepee.
I wouldn't call it cool.
For him.
It looks like a gas station. We'll post it on Instagram
so you guys can see. We're just going to have to, like, blur out his face.
And my strategy to get a picture, Cammie couldn't get a clear picture.
Well, I was trying to get, I was recording, and I was waiting for him to, like, turn his head. But then all the, like, there was, like, a couple guys around the car, and I think they saw me and thought I was being creep, which I was. I was recording somebody in public without their consent, which was rude. But he just, like, would not turn around. I was like, "Come on."
So my strategy to get a picture of him was to say, "Wow, man, I love your car." And there were, like, three guys, and they thought I was, like, a big car head.
What's, oh my god,
a sneaker head.
Yeah, they like started talking to you about it too.
He's like, "Yeah, it's a 1967 blah blah blah."
You went, it was a 1969, I remember, because I started singing, like, "We went to the moon." Yeah. 1969. And you went, "Oh, great year, great year." Like, you were alive.
I'm fucking there, baby. But I go, "Do you mind if I take a couple pictures of the car? I just love it. It's so beautiful." Taking pictures walking around the car.
She got, like, a weird wide angle horizontal.
But it was hard because
funny. He was, like, off to the side.
Like, he kept trying to get out of it, but I
wanted. You're like, "I literally want you."
But it was also like, why the hell am I taking pictures of this?
But I'm also like, we felt comfortable enough being like, "Cool car, can I get a picture?" Why weren't we just like, "Oh my god, your hat, like, can such a cool hat, can I take a picture?" And we could have had him just, like, tilt his head. What?
I don't think you heard
this. No. What?
I don't think you heard this, but I said, "Can I take a picture of your car?" And he's like, "Yeah, do you want to get
in?" Oh, yeah, I did. I was like, "Don't look, don't look, don't look." I was looking down at my phone like, "Oh my god."
I just kept thinking, how fucking funny would it be if all of this was to get a picture of this guy's hat, but then we walk away with me in front of this car at the gas station.
You should have been like, "Yeah, yeah," and then been like, "I don't want to be alone. Will you come in it with
Pee-pee,
me?
Pee-pee, get in here."
Pee-pee.
He was like this sweet little, like, 70-year-old looking man.
Yeah, he was
man.
So old. He was so cute.
He did tell me, though, that
yeah, they really pulled you into it.
The car has spent its life in Big Bear.
I did not hear that. I heard him say, I heard you go like, oh my God, really?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, so her whole life was up there. And
her whole life. Da, 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 da. Since 1969.
So cool. Thanks for telling me, sir. That was funny. And then, yeah, but he like bought it from someone that like moved snow or something in Big Bear.
Wow. Very anyway, cool.
Yeah. So it turned out to be a funny little memory. Funny little
so
moment.
So silly.
So you're feeling sick and that's upsetting. I'm sorry for you.
It's whatever. I don't want to discuss it.
I don't want to discuss it.
Oh my God, that sounded like Bill Clinton, which made me think of, did you see that Reformation has Monica Lewinsky as the like face of their new campaign?
No, what's their new campaign?
Just like their clothing.
Why is Monica Lewinsky? What's the tie though?
It's kind of like businessy attire. I don't know. They just did a whole campaign. And I feel like it is this era of these women who were... had their reputations tainted for not doing really anything wrong, taking it back. Taint. But it's just so cool. I'm like, I love that she's doing this and like we're all realizing that she's incredible and the world hated her for nothing.
I mean, I know nothing about her other than she was like, she broke them up or whatever in my head.
Exactly. You're the problem.
I am the problem. I am the problem.
Yeah, no. It's awesome though. It's like the smartest campaign. I don't know.
50s? So do you think it's just a smart campaign because they use someone that's like, what's smart about it?
I think one, because she was this like businesswoman and like it's just cool attire. And then it's like kind of polarizing. And she has, I think she like wrote a book and stuff. So people are kind of starting to get to hear her story a little bit too. And then it's like, oh, this boss ass woman who was like ridiculed. Mm. And it's just like a, such a comeback story. And it's so cool. It's like, that's who you want to embody. That's going to get people's attention. It's just so cute. Loved it.
I love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
My fella.
Yeah. We're back into Taryn's like, will not touch me while I'm sick.
I just, guys.
I can't even get a forehead kiss in this.
I gave you forehead kiss in the morning.
Yeah, that was the first time in like a week.
Yeah.
I am like. In quarantine against Tear.
Guys, she had a fever for multiple days.
I can't get a kiss on the cheek. Nothing.
I kissed the back of your head. I've kissed your arms. I've kissed your back.
You're like, whip out your notes in case you get sick. I've really like, been on March.
I've really 20th. Been trying, honey. I think that's okay.
Of course it's okay, but it makes me sad. I feel lonely.
I understand. And I've been trying to be closer to you, but I also can't have both of us being sick. We have to do things. So I'm like...
Yeah.
I think that that's...
I didn't say it's not okay, but I know.
I know that you're sad.
It's just tough.
I'm holding that space.
I think it's a big part of your health anxiety. Like, most people don't do that. Most people don't, like, avoid their partner when they have flu.
I'm not avoiding you. I'm with you all day.
Like, yeah, but, like, no touchy touch.
Baby, we're holding hands on the couch. Mm-hmm. I have rubbed you.
We have very little touch.
I'm just not letting, we just haven't kissed.
No, but I'm that's what I'm saying. It's more than just not kissing. Like, we have very low interaction.
Yeah, I mean.
It's okay. It just makes me, I'm just saying.
I know, but then it feels like you're saying it's not okay because you said no other couples do this or
no,
whatever.
I'm just saying I think it's a byproduct of your health anxiety, which is totally okay. Yeah. Bringing something up is not me saying it's not okay. It's just me addressing like. It's an added element that's really hard when I'm sick because you do avoid me a little bit more. Like, we're not cuddling on the couch. There's not that physical touch. So I'm like, I'm not seeing people. I'm stuck inside. And then I also feel lonely with us.
Do other couples do this? I'm like genuinely curious because at least since COVID days, it's my understanding that that's what people are doing when their partner is sick. That they're not kissing them or getting too close to them.
Yeah, I think sometimes when people
or...
have COVID, people have been like a little bit more.
But a flu is just
also,
as
like,
bad as COVID
I know,
is
but
now.
I broke my fever like days ago. So you're not, that's like scientifically, you're not supposed to be contagious after you haven't had a fever for 24 hours.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, well.
So now I'll kiss you and now we'll hug you. Oh, I have been hugging you. I've been giving you lots of hugs.
Yeah, you've been giving me more hugs these last couple of days.
It's just sustained being in your same breath. Yeah. And also what you're not hearing is she is like very consistently hacking up a lung.
Yeah.
And so don't let this fool
you. I'm not trying to fool anyone. I'm like, I'm sick. I know that. I just think I've never experienced that. The like, I've never done that. I don't do that with you. I've never done that with a partner.
Yeah.
Like, my family's never been that way. Like, my mom would smother me when I'm sick.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it is more heightened with your health anxiety.
I don't.
Or maybe it's just like how you are. I don't know. But it's just, it's an added element that's difficult for me when I'm sick that I'm like, ugh.
I
need a snuggle.
I hear you. I don't feel that I was very snuggled when I was sick. Is it growing up? I'm just realizing now. Hmm. Like, it was very.
I meant for me. I was like, that's bullshit. No.
Like, I was like allowed, obviously, in the common areas, and like we would like be on the couch watching things together. But I don't. Yeah. I wasn't getting like kisses from my parents and stuff. Like, even my dad. Sad. Even my dad to this day is like, you know, when I'm sick, he's like, ew, get away. He's like, I'm like a grubby kid to him.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where this is coming from, because I didn't really have that.
Yeah. No, my mom would like snuggle me to sleep if I needed it.
I'm sorry, honey. It's okay. I'll get, now that we're like days in and you're past the
contagious
being
side.
Sweaty in the night and stuff like that too.
I don't know if I'm past that. I woke up in the middle of the night like coughing. I was like, it's back.
I mean, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, I just feel so bad, whatever. So I just, I don't know.
I know. It's just a weird experience. It's not me saying that you're wrong. Me sharing about it is not me saying that it's right or wrong.
Okay.
It's just.
Well, I also want to voice that I am sad that I'm not getting cuddles and lovies with you too. Yeah. Like, I do miss kissing you. We almost kissed today. Remember?
Oh, my God.
It was like a force field. We were like.
It got so close. We were like.
I forgot for just a second.
It was actually so funny. Our lips were like, I don't even know if you could put a paper between them. And we were like.
It's going to be the best kiss, though, when we're back.
You know, electric.
I can't wait. Wait, I have multiple things I want to talk to you about. It's actually, can I just say before we move on, I'm loving this energy with you because we've had none of it the last, like, 4 days.
The other day, I, like, laughed or I spoke. And you're like, oh, my God.
Well,
you were, like, scared. You were like, who's here?
One thing about Cam is when she's sick, you're a rock.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of, I feel like I've grown out of my asthma, but I was always told as a kid, like, you can't get sick. When you get sick, you get really sick. And I like still blame it on that of like, why am I so sick when I get like a flu or COVID? I feel like it hits me so much harder sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I've just been like, oh yeah, asthma, weak immune system. I'm like, I gotta go get this figured out. I'm like, why am I this sick? And then I started having fears of like, I can't be this sick when I'm pregnant and or have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I can't be out for a day. Like, it overwhelmed me how far behind on my like house tours I got.
Yeah.
And how like things just fall apart. And I was like, oh my God, I can't do this. Like,
yeah.
And then there's the dogs and like you're having to take them on your own and stuff. I'm like, there's like, this is not a one man operation we have going on here. Yeah. Like, we both need to be alive and well.
Yeah.
So I was like, shit, I need to like take some like magic elixir to never get sick when we have kids. How do parents do it?
I think I don't know you really. I mean, I knew you as friends.
I thought you said, I don't know you.
I mean, like, look, I don't know you.
I don't really know you.
Like, so don't get sick, bitch. I don't know how you were before we started dating, like when we were friends, if you would get sick a lot and stuff. But this also feels...
I feel like when we got together, I wasn't getting sick. I feel like
recent. I think this is COVID.
Yeah.
This is after COVID.
I was just sick in December.
Yeah.
I used to be sick every month, every other month growing up. It was really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I remember always missing school, like, within the first few weeks of it starting. My allergies would be bad, and then my allergies would spiral. Then when I moved to LA, I didn't really get sick often.
Mm-hmm.
I think because my allergies weren't triggered, so then it was like, unless I got the flu or something.
Yeah.
Which I never really get the flu. Which I also don't typically get the flu vaccine, so maybe I need to start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
but... I feel like since COVID, I'm like, I've been sick at least once a year,
mm-hmm.
probably twice a year. And then the fact that I was sick in December and it's only March, I was like, the fuck?
One thing that I'm thinking is like, we've been such homebodies the last couple years.
Yeah, like COVID has maybe like weakened our immune system.
I think that I think it's just we need to go out to eat all the time again.
Okay. I love and like lick the table before dinner.
And just like be out and not use hand sanitizer every second.
Totally.
That's all.
See, I have the opposite thought. That's every time all. I get sick, I'm like, what was the time that I like didn't wash my hands long enough?
Mm.
Did I go to eat and not wash my hands when I got there? And like, yeah. Was I in an Uber? But yeah, maybe I need to just like lick Uber seats and
yeah,
have strangers sneeze in my face.
Just get one of those like shared Ubers if they still do that.
Do they? They don't do that, and then I don't think.
Put your little tongue between the seats.
Totally.
Disgusting.
Are you okay over there? It looks like you're holding in like a burp and a fart.
I did. I did. Just...
That made... I've heard that giggle.
Because you don't like to talk about farts so much. So I thought that was
pretty mind talking about farts. What are you talking about?
Maybe you're not very farty. You don't like I fart. You don't.
That's different than talk. I am not shy of talking about any bodily function. I just don't fart a lot.
You're always talking queef. So I can't get this girl to stop. She's like, queef this, queef that. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Queef queen.
I'm totally fine to talk about it all. I just don't like when you... Fart in a common space when you could excuse yourself.
When I could.
You let him rip like an old lady. You let him rip like a mom.
I know the peepees know where I'm at here because I've talked about it so many times. Some of us
have tummy issues. You could still step away.
Please hold. Some of us have tummy issues that make it so that we don't know when we're farting. That is my...
You don't know when you're farting is baby. The most old lady shit I've ever heard. Like, you have no control. Like...
Yeah, sometimes you cross your legs and you're like, that was crazy.
Honey, I'm the one who did poppers every weekend for a few years. Like, if anyone's butthole should be loose, it's mine.
Yeah, well, good for you. I don't need... I'm nature's popper. I'm out here. I'm popping them every day. Leave me alone. Any hoodlum.
The weather's finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to summer dresses and skirts. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul, without spending a fortune, of course. Luckily, I found Kints, and I've been loving the cotton cashmere rib sleeveless midi dress and the 100% washable silk skirt for a while now. I get endless compliments on it, and it's been really easy to dress up and dress down. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. And the best part of all is Kints items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. As well as this, Kints only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which you know I love and care about. Get warm weather ready with Kints. Go to kints.com/stayingup for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's QUINCE.com/stayingup to get free shipping and 365-day returns. kints.com/stayingup.
Hi, y'all. I'm Kinsey, and I'm the host of Houseguest Podcast. I am a Gen Z wannabe Martha Stewart meets Dolly Parton trying to live in a Nancy Meyers movie. We talk all about life, relationships, and navigating your 20s. I'd like to say I'm multifaceted. I'm either waking up at 4 a.m. in the sauna, tending to my garden, or closing at the bars until 2 a.m. You just never know what you're going to get. It's either me at home in my house in Texas that I spend way too much time in, or in the studio with some pretty cool guest. You can follow us at The Houseguest Pod and listen or watch all new episodes every Thursday wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube.
Hi.
Hey.
And hello.
I'm Ryan Christina.
And I'm Paloma.
Along with our co-host Sierra Schulte, who is on maternity leave, we are 20 Whatever, a podcast about navigating your 20s with friends through different phases of life.
Join us every Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. PST, for comfy chats on the couch where we hope you leave feeling seen, heard, and held.
You can watch on YouTube or listen wherever you get podcasts.
Make sure to tune in on Wednesdays for all new 20 Whatever episodes. Thanks for listening.
A couple things I'd like to speak about today. Okay. I'm really going to be running this episode as our daughter.
You're fucking weird, my guy. As our daughter? Whose daughter? I'm not your daughter.
I think I meant to say as our mother.
And it came out daughter?
It's crazy. I'm sorry, everyone.
Frank is looking disturbed. He's off camera, but I can... I can attest to him. Oh, he is disturbed.
Giggy. I said giggy. I meant giggly. What I will say is I'm playing tennis again in the mornings, and it's giving me crazy energy.
Yeah, working out in the morning is fabulous.
Dude, it's so good for my mental health.
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. I will be speaking a lot of this episode and kind of guiding our conversation as our
guys
mother.
I'm a pee-pee today. I'm a listener.
You're just a pee-pee. Are you a fan? Do you want me to sign your boobie?
Yeah, come here. Yeah, get in here.
So last weekend was St. Patrick's Day.
Sure.
It was. And I said St. Patty.
How dare you? Did people come
with
for you?
With two T's?
Like T's? Yeah, Patty. Oh my God.
The Irishmen that follow me, men and
women.
Yeah,
they're real serious about
it. Everyone's like, don't say Patty. It's Patty.
Patty's Day is big in Pittsburgh. So I've been reprimanded my whole life for the double T to the double D.
You know.
So yeah, I've been knowing that.
I had no idea. So that's just a PSA for next year, everyone.
Yeah, don't
be careful.
Fuck it up.
I will read one of the DMs I got. As an Irish person, please, please don't call it St. Patty's with T's. That's something only Americans say.
Yeah.
Even St. Paddy's with D's is acceptable. Okay. What I find interesting about that.
Patrick is with T's.
So that's what I'm trying to say.
I know I've looked this up before because, like I said, I have been attacked before. Like,
there's
when I was
some
12.
Like it was Patrick or something was his real name, and then it became Patrick. It's all stupid.
I mean, like if you said Patrick with an Irish accent, you would never enunciate those T's.
Happy St. Patrick's? Well, that wasn't it. I'm generally not bad, but this one, I think it's because I know the Irish peepees are already pissed.
Oh, they're pissed. Let's not even like get into it, maybe.
Hold on.
Oh, you're
happy. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy. It smells like farts in here.
It smells like farts in here. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I guess you.
It smells like farts
it's bad,
in
honey,
here.
It's bad, baby. Pack it up. It's so bad.
I'll pack it up. Okay. But what I was going to say is, this reminds me of when people call Orange County OC.
Yeah.
I'm from OC. Don't do that.
Or if they say like San Fran.
So I had done that a few times.
You've
like
you've done San Fran?
Yeah. And
it's like only God. San Francisco
I'm
or SF,
calls,
right?
On calls.
Baby,
right
put
now.
Your phone on silent. Do not disturb.
Be silent.
We are working.
We are working. I need to remember that. This is a job. So true, bestie. Oh, but is there a version of that for LA? Like, don't say this
wait,
that we can
yeah.
help our PPs with.
Oh, I mean, there's a million things. First of all, you cannot call Silver Lake, Echo Park, the East Side. We all do it.
We do it.
I think we have to more because it's not East LA.
Yeah, there is an
East
LA.
It's almost like East Hollywood.
Mm.
But we're not going to say that. So we all say the East Side because uh-huh. it's farther east than most people normally go. Uh-huh. There's a big issue with like transplants
yeah.
in LA and people who are born and bred.
We don't call it LA and we don't call it Los Angeles. We call it Los Angeles.
No.
Don't try it.
No. But wait. Yeah, there is something. Like, it's not Los Angeles. It's when people say Cali. Most of America
Cali.
Outside of California says Cali.
Cali, you
I've
guys?
Never known anyone in California to say Cali.
Yeah, I'm from Cali.
Yeah, I'm going to Cali.
I'm going to Cali.
Yeah.
That is so upsetting.
I think because it's in like a few songs.
Head out, hey, yeah, we're actually coming out to Cali this weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like a so fake bad. Surfer bro.
But like,
but I've never heard somebody actually in California say it.
No.
So that's when I would say, okay, I bet a lot of people in other parts of America and other parts of the country would say Cali.
I feel like some Bay Area folks go Cali.
Cali.
Yeah. Like,
no.
Like Oakland Bay Area.
Really?
Like Cali. Yeah, man, Cali.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let us know. If you live in California, are you born here and say it? Do you say it? Just does anyone say it? And if you do, specify if you were born here or not.
You get an excuse if you're not from Cali.
Oh, I don't care the people not from California. Like, yeah, if you're saying it, I would just maybe cut it off.
Okay.
Cut it
so
out.
So no OC, no Cali. Okay. No. Next thing I'd like to speak
with you
about.
The OC obviously came from the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, people were saying it before, but not to the amount that people said it until after.
Yeah. Be like if people were like, oh, she's from Penn, like Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. I've never heard that.
She's from Penn.
She's a Penn girl.
That would be weird. Like, you could go to UPenn.
Yeah, but you wouldn't say it.
You wouldn't say it.
Next thing on my list to speak with you about is accepting my hair color.
That you're not blonde.
Okay. No. It's not about being blonde or not blonde. It is that we are looking pee-pees for our sperm donor right now. Yeah. And we want it to kind of look like us, right?
Yeah. We're looking for a hybrid man. We want to find a sperm donor who has characteristics of both of us, mm-hmm. but that realistically would help us create kids that would then look like a combo of us, which is interesting. Like, I don't need the sperm donor to look like you or look like me. They just have to create a kid that could potentially come from you and
either
me.
Of us. Yes.
Yeah.
So we're like filling out the hair section, the hair color section on all of these.
Yeah.
And I tend to go for a lighter haired person, like blonde or dirty blonde, because in my head, that is what like, I look like.
Yeah, you're like, I need it. Because you were as a little kid. Yeah. So I also think because we're creating a kid, you're thinking of kid you.
Yeah, yeah. But then we go into brown and I'm like, well, I could do light brown. I'm like, but I don't want to do dark brown. And Cammie was like,
but you
dark have brown dark hair. Brown hair. And it, the way that my reality shifted is so real. Like, you would call my hair dark brown.
Okay, so actually no, if we're gonna get into like levels of let me do
a camera and look at myself while we talk about this. That's dark, dude.
I'm gonna talk about it in
that's dark hair.
It's dark, but like, okay, so level, I'm gonna explain it in hair color level terms because it goes from a 1 to a 10.
Okay.
Level one is black.
Okay.
Level 10 is like bright, and these are like more natural tone colors. So honestly, because if you look at like how light your little pieces can get around your face,
you're not like a
dark brown. Mm-hmm. You're like more of like a, like your root is more of like a medium brown, but it is a darker brown tone.
It's not
my
light brown.
I am too. Like I too would say that I'm like a medium brown.
Okay.
I just think we both have pretty dark hair. Like, if you look at these tones here in this chart, like, you are not.
Yeah. I'm not the first
You two. Are not in. Well, those are, like, black. But you're not even the darkest brown is number 3 on this one.
Yeah,
You're not that.
I'm a 4, probably. 5.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy how.
Yeah, you're probably a 5.
I'm looking at pictures of men and being like, his hair's too dark, it won't look like us. And I'm like, that's my hair color, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just thought.
I think people get a little stuck in the way. Like, I think your mom thinks you're blonde, too.
I mean, yeah.
People get stuck in, like, how you were as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was never very blonde as a kid. But it's funny because, like, you were lighter as a kid and your base color is darker than my base color. But I was so always crazy. Kind of like a golden-y brown.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay, that's
that. People struggle with that. There's also this TikTok going around of this girl who has like naturally bleached blonde, like blonde natural. Hair. Natural. Okay. Like Scandinavian type hair. And people have been coming for her throat being like, it's not natural. You can see the root. You can see the darkness when you move it. And she's like, one, that's like under, so the sun's not hitting it as much. Mm-hmm. When you move your hair, there are shadows. It's like people cannot wrap their head around the fact that this girl has like white hair.
Yeah.
And they are just attacking her, which is so funny. I think that's silly when people care. People get this all the time. Like, if you go call yourself blonde on TikTok right now, you will get ripped apart.
I'll try it.
You should.
I'll go on TikTok and be like, it's so crazy how I'm just like life of a blonde, am I right?
Blondes have so much more fun.
I'm loving this.
People get really bad about it. I just think it's silly. I'm like, why do you care? I could go on and be like, I'm such a redhead. Who cares?
Dude. This is totally not related, but somehow related in my head.
Okay.
But I just recorded Yeah Boys
podcast.
Yeah. With the boys. And Tyler brought up this book.
That's... I thought you would have done it with the girls. That's so weird.
She's back, everybody. you look like the baby version of you right now. Dude. I got pictures recently of Cammy as a baby, like from her mom. I don't even remember where they came from, but she's so cutie, and that just looked exactly like it. Okay, wait. So Tyler brought up this book that is like trending and all these parents are reading it called Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up.
Ooh.
And it's like this guy that he likes was talking about how it's one of the best books he's ever read and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then Tyler like read some of the takeaways to us and asked how we felt about them.
Yeah.
I won't do the whole thing here, but it says the book dives into trying to figure out why kids are having so many more mental health problems when there are so many more resources devoted to improving mental health. Anxiety, depression, suicide, etc. are all higher than they've ever been with kids, even though their lives are arguably better than ever before. It doesn't make sense. Here are a few key takeaways from the book. And then he goes on to say, like, I'll actually just rattle them off, but we don't need to sit and talk about them because it's not even the point.
Why are they arguably better? Well, we won't get into a tangent, but go ahead.
His takeaways were, a constant attention on how kids are feeling or thinking is actually causing negative outcomes, which I kind of agreed with.
I can get that.
Like thinking,
it's like adding too much emphasis on it instead of like letting feelings come and letting feelings go. It's like having to explain it all too much. I get that.
We incessantly ask kids how they're feeling, if they're happy, how their mental health is, etc. And this is creating kids who think that they're fragile instead of resilient.
Yeah.
Interesting. Next one was, trying to solve every problem for kids has caused a generation who can't do anything for themselves.
Yeah.
Next is, you develop confidence and strong mental health by doing things, not by thinking or via therapy.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Interesting.
One of the best ways to decrease your happiness is to chase it. Agree.
Yeah, fair.
The happiest, most well-adjusted kids come from families with loving parents that have strict rules for the households. Constantly surveying school-age kids about their mental health causes more issues than it solves, yada, yada, yada. And we like all talked about our kind of like reactions to those things and what we agreed with and didn't agree with. And for the most part, we all agreed. It was like there definitely is too much focus on how people are doing from such a young age. Like, how are you doing? How are you? That would stress any kid out.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, I got to read this book. Pretty interesting. I look up the author who I'd never heard of. And they have another book that's a best-selling book. And I'm like, what's this? It says on the top, from the best-selling author of Irreversible Damage. And I was like, what's Irreversible Damage about? Irreversible Damage, the transgender craze seducing our daughters.
Oh my God. I could have guessed where this was going to go.
And I was like, while we're recording Voice, I'm like, sitting there like, oh, do I bring this up right now? I don't want to like cause a whole fucking thing.
You bring it up. You bring it up, baby.
I did it because it was towards the end. But I like just started briefly looking into it. And it's like named a book of the year by The Economist. One of the best books by the New York Times and the Sunday Times.
Whoa.
And I was like, it's interesting. What? So I started to like just lightly scroll. She's a Wall Street Journal writer. Like just really.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not diving into anything in my little looking, but I'm just like, it's really weird.
Yeah.
And then I like went and looked at some of the reviews, and the first review was like, I am LGBTQ. If you have a daughter or you care about girls, read this book. The next one is like, liberal here, da 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 da. Great book. And I was just like, what? So I haven't dove into it.
Oh, you don't have the answers for us here?
What answers?
Of like what is the context of the book?
Let me read.
I thought you were coming like, okay, then I got off the podcast and then I looked it up and this is what it is.
So I don't think it's like a good aha moment of like, oh, I literally think it's saying that like.
No, I mean, I don't need a good or bad. I'm not looking for either here nor there. I'm just looking for answers. And you don't have
you
heard
it here, folks. She's looking for answers.
She brought me a whole topic with
let me read, because I'm processing in real time.
Okay.
Until just a few years ago, gender dysphoria, severe discomfort in one's biological sex, was vanishingly rare. It was typically found in less than 0.01% of the population, emerged in early childhood, and afflicted males almost exclusively. But today, whole groups of female friends in colleges, high schools, and even middle schools across the country are coming out as transgender. these are girls who had never experienced any discomfort in their biological sex until they heard a coming out story from a speaker at a school assembly or discovered the internet community of trans influencers. Unsuspecting parents are awakening to find their daughters in thrall to hip trans YouTube stars and gender-affirming educators and therapists who push life-changing interventions on young girls, including medically unnecessary double mastectomies and puberty blockers that block that can cause permanent infertility. Abigail Schreer, a writer of the Wall Street Journal, has dug deep into the trans epidemic, talking to the girls, their agonized parents, and the counselors and doctors who enable gender transitions, as well as detransitioners, young women who bitterly regret what they have done to themselves. Coming out as a transgender...
sounds extremely dangerous.
That's what but
I just think...
it's crazy.
I think it's maybe bringing up a topic. Like, this sounds very... very dangerous and harmful to people because...
Wait, can I finish the last two paragraphs just to wrap up the end? It says, coming out as a transgender or coming out as transgender immediately boosts these girls' social status, Schreer finds. But once they take the first steps of the transition, it is not easy to walk back. She offers urgently needed advice about how parents can protect their daughters. A generation of girls is at risk. Abigail Schreer's essential book will help you understand what the trans craze is and how you can inoculate your child against it or how to retrieve her from this dangerous path.
Even though
is that crazy?
Wording in that and like the trans craze is so extreme and like it just feels like they're using a scare tactic. I really obviously don't know much about the details of this book and their thoughts, but it just, it sounds incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
I think the valid thing that people are trying to bring up potentially in this is that I think we focused on two extremes and we didn't address the middle ground very soon where people are like, oh, that's not trans. That's just like a tomboy. That was normal. It's not about that. It's that we as people who are born female have not just like our body pushed on us, but like what that means. And another reason why I don't want to tell people the gender of our baby too soon, because I don't want them to have this preconceived idea of who this kid is. It's not me assuming that our kid could be trans, which of course there's a chance. It's a small percentage. Like it is a very small percentage of people who are actually trans. It's not even about that to me. It's that I don't want you to put these ideas on our kid of like what sport they're gonna play, what hobbies they're gonna like, what they should look like. And I think that's more where they're like, it's so wild to me that they're like, oh no, this was something that typically affected men more. That just doesn't make sense. How could that even be? Why would it affect men more?
Be careful. He has his foot on your...
Frankie's gonna turn off his podcast. That just doesn't statistically make sense to me. It would be something that affects men and women equally.
Yeah.
So to me, yeah, so it's more of like men felt more comfortable than like there was a larger percentage of queer people who were men at first because it was easier for them to come out. Like this just feels so dangerous to tell people that this is not what's happening and like your kids are being tricked. Maybe let's just talk about it more so that kids do understand, because there's also a lot of people came out as strictly gay or as lesbian and then later in life almost like went back and was like, oh no, maybe I'm bi or I'm pan or whatever it may be, because we didn't have the language to explain it. Where I feel like this is scaring people in from talking about it, when I feel like if anything, we need to talk about it more.
Totally.
So it's not this big shock.
Well, what's crazy is it is currently the number third best-selling book on Amazon's LGBTQ studies section.
Wow.
The number two book is The Queering of the American Child, How a New School Religious Cult Poisons the Minds and Bodies of Normal Kids.
Of normal kids. Wow.
This is Amazon's LGBTQ studies section.
Okay, so maybe we need some better LGBTQ studies books being promoted, because that's crazy.
And the top one is called Cruel Sacrifice, Teen Girls, Mean Girls, Killer Girls. I don't even know what that means.
This is depressing me. This is awful.
Pretty insane. But I just was so like, I had such a weird feeling after seeing that, because I was like, wow, this book, other book, the first book seems so interesting. I was like, I'd love to read that. Mm-hmm. And then when you...
To know that those are their other thoughts, you're like, oof.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I actually feel like I want parenting advice from this person. Because not parenting advice, but I want to understand the studies and whatever. But then I'm like...
Is it just being skewed so much?
And who knows? Like,
yeah,
these could be completely separate topics. Not everyone is black and white.
Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm not backing them in any way because I clearly have no idea what their spooky beliefs are.
I think it's just shocking to be like totally on board with this one ideology that
totally
a person has and you don't know that much about the person, but you're like, this is making sense. I can get how we could be going too far. And then you hear them talk about a different subject.
So crazy.
That you maybe have more understanding on and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Just yeah. like,
and it makes you scared of like, how quickly am I able to like fall into these things?
Yeah.
Overall, I think both topics, it's like, you don't want to go to the extreme. I think like I've seen those charts for little kids when they're like throwing a tantrum and it's like, what are you feeling?
Yeah.
Are you frustrated right mm-hmm. now? Like, let's put a word to it. So
help them understand.
And I think that's so powerful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see some harm in constantly being like, are you okay? Are you okay? It's like, well, I think so. Should I not be okay?
Well, in the advice or the example I used on Yeah Boys is like, happiness is different for kids and adults.
Yeah.
So we understand that happiness is many things. It is contentment. It is feeling like you worked hard. It is not having a crazy day, whatever. For kids, it is more black and white. It is like, I'm either having a 10 out of 10 day or I'm freaking out.
Everything's way more extreme, yeah.
And so it's like, if you're constantly being like, hey, let's talk about it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, maybe they're having a 9 out of 10 day.
Yeah.
But then they're like, that 9 out of 10 is actually catastrophically bad to them.
Yeah.
Because it's not a 10 out of 10. And they just don't know the range of emotions as easily.
Totally.
But I don't know. I want to read that Bad Therapy book because I am curious, like genuinely curious. But, and I also have so many people that, like, men in my life that are like, yeah, therapy wasn't for me. I don't like therapy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm kind of like, okay.
Well, be nice to understand why people are feeling
that. Like, we're going to have a son, maybe.
Yeah.
And if we do, and I want to understand what he could be feeling based on the data points in my life, which are that most of the men in my life either don't go or don't like therapy. And it's like, I'd like to learn about that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Interesting.
Okay. Now for the meat and potatoes of this epi.
Not you going through like a dark path while you're literally recording with them and just being like, I'm scared here.
That's been
so funny.
That's been such a cool experience with that podcast is like, we have those conversations outside of that fairly often, but like, we never push ourselves to think about things articulately because it's just you and your best friend sitting around chatting. And now it's like, okay, what if we try to actually talk about how we feel in a way that could be heard by an audience so that it makes you think about what you're saying better? And like, it's just been cool because we all don't think the same. So it's just been nice to like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's good to have those different perspectives.
Okay. So this week on Discord, one of our peepees said, the thought that every queer girl's first girl story is so crazy. I've never heard a normal story. Then we thought about the idea of let's do a episode where we just read first girl stories and
first girl stories
or first queer stories, whatever. So I have a list of I pulled some first queer stories that I just wanted to rattle off to you
so we can I'll read some too.
Okay, great.
Forth. We're trying to see, can we debunk the myth of everyone's first time with a girl is a crazy situation?
You want to start towards the top, I'll start towards the bottom, and then we'll just see.
We can just go back and forth. You go ahead and start, you know.
Great, I'm on the bottom.
I thought I might mean like just read the first one and then we'll just go down.
Sure.
You know what I mean? No? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They just vary in length.
Oh, so okay. Whatever you want to do. Bounce around.
Yeah, let's bounce. Okay.
Bounce.
First, we have Molly.
Okay.
I was a sophomore in high school and had my first real crush on a girl in my science class. We started talking through mutual friends and very quickly started dating. To make a long story very short, I got a hey girly message about 3 weeks in that then uncovered her girlfriend that she had been with for 6 months, a girlfriend that lived 30 minutes away, and yet another girlfriend that I had a class with. Later came to find out that she had also been hooking up with one of the guys, her guy friends.
She's hooking up with everybody?
That's four other people she was with while she was with me for 3 weeks. Took a while to recover from that one.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Molly.
Oh, sorry, Molly. That's
both very high school and very first queer.
Yes.
So I'm really sorry that you got the double whammy.
Yeah, that's tough. Tough, Molly.
You want to take one?
Okay, this is Lindsay. It says, publicly shame me.
Here we go.
Shit. Okay, Lindsay.
That's because I asked if people wanted to be anonymous or not.
Yeah. The first girl I ever slept with was my sister. Oh. I read that wrong. I'm so sorry, Lindsay. That is not what you wrote.
Back to our incest podcast.
Holy fuck. I was like, we will shame you, Lindsay. Okay. The first girl I ever slept with, my sister walked in on us, so it was cut short. Then later that night, we took my dad's two-door Jeep Wrangler to an empty parking lot and had sex in the very small back seat.
Bubs.
The seat remained stained for quite some time. I needed to get the car detailed in secret. I dated her for a year, and then she cheated on me with a teammate.
Not the fucking stain, my
guy. Disgusting.
Jesus.
Also, all these cheating scandals.
Okay, next. Shit. We have Olive. Olive said our first kiss was when we were 12 in school. We continued to kiss until we were 15. Things got progressively sexier until we did the deed. Then she told me she wasn't into girls.
No!
That's crazy.
Oh, no. All right, this is Anon. Thought I was straight for the first 21 years of my life. Realized I was in love with my female coworker 1 week before I was supposed to move across the country to move in with my boyfriend of 4 years.
Oh my God.
He previously lived in the same city as me, but had to move after college. I told her I loved her 2 days before I was supposed to move. She said it back and we kissed. I moved across the country and broke up with my boyfriend 1 month later. The girl and I dated long distance for 8 months, then broke up because it was horribly toxic.
Bro, not.
But nice. At least you had your queer awakening out of it.
I mean, sure. That's nice.
You know.
Next one is, I lost my gay-ginity.
Gay-ginity? I've never heard that one.
Yes. Oh, sorry. It just moved. I lost my gay-ginity in the middle of a frat party in college.
Vibe-y. Oh, wow.
I was the president of my sorority at the time. Love it. And we were having a mixer with a frat in the main room in their house. I was dancing with another girl in my sorority and things escalated. Soon we were fully hooking up in what we thought was a private closet space.
Oh no.
Came to find out that next morning that we had been fingers deep, sorry, in front of everyone because the closet was actually just a section of the wall that would hold a big TV or a fireplace. College was a messy time.
Oh.
Edit.
My God.
I've been told people only saw that we were hooking up. Wait, I've been told people only saw that we were hooking up. It was dark and loud, thank God.
Oh my God.
Anon, please, though we definitely were.
How messed up were they that they didn't realize they were like in a closet and they were like against a wall? What do you mean?
Like it was like where it was punched out, like where a TV would go. So it like was the shape of a closet.
But you don't know that there's no door? Like, what?
I don't know. They were fucked
Jesus
up.
Jesus.
Sorority
Christ.
Party. I don't know. That's crazy.
Holy shit. That's tough. But I mean, at least they didn't cheat on you. We got one.
Amen.
Hannah says, I became fast friends with this girl and we hung out every single weekend. We lived two hours away from each other and both of us couldn't drive. For at least 2 years, this went on. We would hold hands and she would need my arm around her to fall asleep at night.
Aww. Cute.
We would call us hanging out dates. That's cute.
That is cute.
Everything was awesome until she texted me 3 years into our relationship that I was toxic and she couldn't handle it anymore. Probably because we were Mormon.
Okay. Oh.
Religious context. Then a few days after me being depressed in my bed, she texted me saying, sorry, I was dehydrated. I didn't mean to say that to you.
Why is that you?
Sorry, I did not mean what I said. I was really thirsty.
That is the cutest shit ever.
Wait, I want the rest of the story.
Like, I was dehydrated.
That is so...
We do silly things when we need water.
Yeah, you know what? We can't help it.
This one says, Cora says, The first girl I ever loved was my BFF from elementary to high school, but I didn't realize I loved her that way until I came out in college, and by that time she had a serious boyfriend. I loved her in painful silence for years after. Aww. And tried to move on, but right as I started to, wouldn't you know it, they broke up. Anyways, 5 years later, we got married last year.
Cute. Okay, it's not all bad.
Go off, Cora.
Yes, Cora.
Love that.
Wait, that is so precious.
I have a really short one while you look for the next.
Go ahead.
It says, first time with a girl, church girl, tennis court, sports car,
whoa,
sex, the end.
Oh my God, the storytelling of that.
Juicy. I asked everyone to be very short, and that, like that is the shortest yet.
Yep. The first girl I ever slept with realized she was gay while she was going down on me. I thought she was out and didn't realize I was her first as well. She stopped mid-sesh to tell me about how, in that moment, she realized she was in love with her camp counselor when she was 13. After we finished, she said we should book a cabin and take a week-long trip together. I said, I've known you for 2 weeks, and this is our second date.
I love to think that this girl had a complete come to Jesus while she is in.
Wait a minute. She's like, holy fuck.
Whoa, I'm gay. I liked my counselor. Do you want to go away for 2 weeks? It's crazy. Okay, next.
And she's Anon. Like, I don't want to go away for 2 weeks.
We met on Her, a dating app. And before I knew it, we were in the bedroom. I had no idea what I was doing except what I saw on this indie porn website used to pay money for. Worth every penny. She brought out toys and it worked out. All a blur. Never saw her again. I love that.
All a blur.
Honestly, successful.
Yeah.
You did your research?
Yeah.
There were
You came in. You knew what you were working with. You got to experience a few things. Figure out what you like. We love it.
Proud of you. That's a good one.
My first time kissing a girl was at my friend's 14th birthday in a Clifford the Big Red Dog moon bounce.
Vibes.
We love that. Then we have my first time sleeping with a girl started with me meeting a chicken named Mark Wahlberg and some goats and ended with her accidentally stealing my Fitbit and moving to North Carolina the week after.
Stealing my Fitbit. Dude, lesbians love wearables, so that really makes sense.
I'm also like imagining her, like the other girl's not out yet, and she's like, what if her Fitbit shows we had sex? Like, I gotta take the evidence.
Okay, Evie said, it's a story of first hooking up with a person. In summary, then there are bullet points.
Okay.
Met a person on a dating app. Drove 5 hours to meet her after a couple weeks, probably only 2 weeks in, of intense-ish dirty talk.
Oh.
Found out I wasn't attracted to her at all when I met her.
No.
Still stayed for 2 or 3 nights because I don't know how to reject a person. No. Kind of traumatized afterwards, deleted all my dating apps.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's so fair.
Imagine
getting there and then you're just like,
there's so many real experiences in that, which is like people on text to people in person can be literally completely different energies.
Totally.
Even if like you're attracted to them as a body.
Yeah.
Then you see them and you're like, oh, your energy's off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, still stayed for 2 or 3 nights is hysterical.
That is wild. Like, we didn't make up an excuse to just get out of there.
No, mama stayed. Mama said, I gotta get this bag. Mm-hmm. And that was her first time hooking up with a person.
Yeah. She's like, I just gotta do it.
Ichi.
Yikes. Okay, Danielle. My first girl kiss was my last boyfriend's ex. Then my first girlfriend was also my boyfriend's ex. 2 different people. Side note, the girl he dated after me confessed feelings for me. I respectfully declined.
Oh my God.
My ex-boyfriend had great taste, lol. My first girlfriend and I started dating 10 years ago today. She's my wife now, and we've been married for 5 years.
Let's go!
It just kind of seems like you and your ex have the same type. And I wonder if like maybe his type is just gay. Or is everyone bi in this situation? Or what's the deal here?
We don't know.
We may never know.
This one, I love the name. Big Beth coming in hot.
Let's
with
go,
a story.
Big Beth.
Let's go, Big Beth.
She called herself Big Beth.
It was their name on Discord.
Oh, I love that.
I made out with a girl in a hot tub.
Classic.
Let's pause there. Just put a period in it. That's a vibe. I made out with a girl in a hot tub at her fifth grade birthday party. I hope. Sorry.
Not us clapping to
one, I hope you were also in fifth grade.
I would like to rewind so far back.
Okay, I'm starting over one more time. I made out with a girl. No, in a hot tub at her fifth birthday party.
Okay, cool.
Fifth grade birthday party. While the song I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry played. Completely forgot about it for over a decade until years after I came out. It just dawned on me that it had happened. I was like, yep, it all makes sense.
I had family members tell me like, they obviously knew I was gay because I was so obsessed with that song.
Oh my God.
They're like, no one was obsessed with that song unless you were gay. Yeah, of course you did. Like,
of course you did.
Checked out.
I also was like very, I remember the moment hearing it in the car with my parents being like, whoa.
Yeah.
And not knowing like why I was knowing that that's a moment.
Yeah.
But I remember it now.
I can't remember if this was the first time I ever, I'm actually really confused. This could have been my first kiss with my first girlfriend, but maybe it was. I remember my dad was picking me up from dance practice, mm-hmm. and we were all like, it was very like too lovey, this dancing. It was weird vibes.
Yeah.
But we would all like kiss on the cheek by.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my first girlfriend like kissed me on the lips by, like, and it couldn't have been the first time we kissed, but now I'm like, fuck, was it? Because I remember getting in the car and being like, my dad knows. You can see on my face that I just had a kiss.
Yeah, you're like, something just happened.
Yeah, I was like, I'm different.
Yeah. I am a woman, daddy.
I was like, it was like dark out and I'm like, are my lips glowing? Like,
yeah,
I was convinced that you could see it.
That shit's different.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was adorable.
Should we do a couple more?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
Are you going?
Yes. Anon, please. I fell in love at 16 with a girl on my sports team. Classic.
Yeah, I've heard this one.
We were best friends.
Also classic.
Yeah, did you put this in here? Just after she invited me as a friend to her homecoming. Okay. She sent me a text with a link to a YouTube video and a timestamp and said, this is what I want to do. I clicked on the link and found the words kiss you on the timestamp that she sent.
No, that's so cute.
I thought, oh my God, I want to kiss her too. That's what this feeling is.
Aww.
We never did kiss, but dated secretly for about 7 months.
Never kissed in those 7 months?
No, maybe they're just scared. Everyone around us always was commenting about how close we were and how we were always together. We even won an award at our team banquet that was created specifically for us. The award was dynamic duo.
Oh,
I laugh
classic.
Every time I think about it.
That's really cute.
That's really freaking
maybe
sweet.
Maybe they meant they didn't kiss at the dance. Or maybe they never did get to kiss. I don't know. That's so classic.
Yeah,
the dynamic
no, we
duo
never
thing.
Did kiss, but dated secretly for 7 months. So maybe they were Bummer. Just cuddling, back scratching.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classics.
Okay, we got Jill. Blast my name to the stars. No Anon here.
I love that.
I was 19.
Jilly.
I was 19 working at a Chili's.
Let's go.
Shout out to any other Chili heads. I'm sorry.
Jilly works at Chili's.
Also, I used to. Not Jilly from Chili's. I loved Chili's, by the way. Okay.
What did you eat there?
I wasn't vegan.
What did you
like
eat there?
I don't remember.
Genuine cue.
I used to love the chips, queso, the whole situation.
Cool. Thanks for
it
telling
was great.
Me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I started dating my coworker who was 22. She did not like how close I was with both of my brother's girlfriends and thought it was weird I was friends with them. Long story short, our first friendsmas, she decided to cover my brother's girlfriend's car with peanut butter. Ew. And I'm talking everywhere. Under the door handles, in the gas cap, under the windshield wipers. Okay, this girl's mean.
Under the windshield wipers is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. I missed that red flag. Missed it out. And dated her for 2 years after that. And then broke up with her where she then decided to write her application to grad school for psychology about my family and how narcissistic we are.
Holy. I thought you were going to say she then peanut buttered your car, but honestly, shit, even worse.
Bro, yikes. What if her dissertation was like, why peanut butter is the perfect revenge? I love that.
Wait, that is cruel. The peanut butter, how do you even get that off?
Okay, we only have three more. Let's round it out.
Go ahead.
Someone said anon, probably for the best.
Oh.
I was in like 7th or 8th grade, LOL. We would see each other at softball tournaments. We were on rival teams and we would hardcore make out in between games.
Let's go!
The way that
so cute.
Is so canon. So that's just cute. I'm obsessed with that. Okay.
Love that.
We were, quote, just friends to everyone until one day I went over to her house, very rare occasion, and we were attempting to sleep together for the first time. And her crazy mom came in, so I hid in the closet, ironic, and she saw my shorts by the bed and found me hiding, called my mom, who freaked out and took me home, where me and my dad spent the rest of the day watching Law and Order together.
Aww.
No one ever spoke about it again, and her mom didn't let us communicate anymore.
Aww.
Then it wasn't until 9th grade that I finally came out to my parents, and me and the girl started seeing each other again. But she was still not out, so it didn't last long at all.
Tough.
We didn't talk anymore until after college when she randomly texted me telling me she was about to propose to her girlfriend, which I thought was extremely weird that she felt the need to tell me, but...
That's sweet.
Yes. That was very hard to put into a paragraph. Wait.
Aw.
The visual of her on the couch with her dad watching Law & Order for the whole day.
So
not knowing
cute.
How to speak to yeah. each other. Just kind of like, oh, yeah. God. Like, you can tell... You know that the mom was like... Jeff, she da 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 da, and then the dad's like, okay, and then you're gonna have to stay at home with her, and then he's like, you know,
so cute.
He's like, you need any chips?
That's so cute.
Okay, we were each other's first girlfriends. We met each other online through mutual friends in 2017. She was in another relationship at the time. We never met, and were what I thought really affectionate friends when we did. Until she planted one on me while she was still in a relationship. Trust me, I'm not proud. Me and the guy are good friends now. They break up in August. We start dating in November. We were dating long distance from Vegas to the Bay Area till she moved in with me in April or May of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
For about 6 months while waiting for a friend to also move to the Bay Area before moving in with them. I take her to work because she was scared to drive on the freeway here. Fair enough. And we got into a car accident at the end of May. She sues me the next morning. Okay, this girl's a mooch, not her moving in with
that
you.
That is insane.
Oh my God.
The next morning, what? She had a lawyer just on lock?
On standby. Eventually, the relationship dies 2 months after she moved out.
How did you stay together for 2 months?
After she sued you. Friendship ends in 2021. She was the one that was very high strung on living with no regrets, and now she tells people she regrets dating me. Everything was toxic, to say the least. I was young, naive, and blinded. Removing the other crazy stuff really takes a story from 0 to 100. Looking back, I shouldn't have dated her, but talking back with friends, we were all blindsided. We were so blindsided, we met up for our annual Secret Santa trip once a year as a group and vented to each other. I ended up trauma bonding with that ex-boyfriend she cheated on. Yeah, that happens. Exes become friends when they're like, wait, we went through some crazy shit. You too?
I bet.
Wait, the suing you the next morning.
That's insane.
But dating for 2 months.
After that? What did you talk about?
Yeah, how's the lawsuit?
How's the lawsuit? What should we get for dinner?
Who's gonna win?
Dude, that is crazy. You said about exes, like how you
trauma bond
with your exes.
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like going through war together. It's like exes trauma bonding is literally like a troop in war. Being like,
we both survived it.
Both made it out. Not everyone makes it out alive, but we did.
And it's like, you're like, I can talk shit about what I went through,
yeah,
without like you get it, and then I'm not just like talking shit to other people and bringing them in. It's like, should we dump?
Yeah, it's we have a secret pod.
We have a secret
that we have something that we can speak in a shared language about.
Yeah.
Okay, the last one. This is from Mar, and this was Mar's original I have a theory that yada yes, yada. So this is perfect to end here. Context. Dominantly Catholic country.
Ooh.
Literally all the schools are Catholic schools.
That'll do
Eighth it. Grade, the entire school spread rumors that me and my first girl were dating. We were fooling around, especially during sleepovers.
But are rumors if they're real?
But we weren't dating.
Okay.
So that ain't real.
They're not dating.
We openly denied it, too, because we never talked about our arrangement. Not you in eighth grade having an arrangement. Yeah,
yeah. Was there a contract?
Man.
NDA. Imagine in high school giving what? NDAs to girls.
Wait, what if everyone...
Like, I would like to kiss you. Sign here.
What if everyone's using that lawyer? Baby.
What?
This should be our law.
Our law
our
practice?
Law firm that we open
NDAs
up.
So you can kiss the girlies.
NDAs.
Yeah.
For queers. Queer NDAs. Okay. We openly denied it because we never talked about that, talked about our arrangement and feelings at all. In that same year, the entire faculty watched us like hawks, so much so that we weren't allowed 1 meter from each other.
Aww.
Insane. Things were on and off for a while. Then she moved to Europe and our communication kind of faltered a bit. Senior year, I found out that our mutual friend apparently started all of the rumors about us way back in the
eighth
grade.
Always a mutual.
And made up a story that included herself by saying that I was dating her and cheating on her with the first girl.
Okay, so wait. Wow, wow, wow.
This friend, let's call her
but
loser.
Call her loser?
Well, because it wasn't the friend. It was the...
No, let's not call her loser. She just has a crush on her and is jealous.
But she's out here starting rumors.
No, so horrible. Horrible.
Loser made up a story that included loser by saying that
yes.
Mar...
No, I get it.
Was
I'm just
dating
saying,
loser and cheated on...
But that is a crazy loser. Rumor to start when you're in a country that yes. is like... homophobic, very Catholic, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And it's like causing problems saying people are gay. Her outing them was like, I'm going to out me.
It's crazy.
Wild.
I saw her again in 2019 where she told me that she had a boyfriend, but she spent her entire visit giving me mixed signals. During the pandemic, first girl and I started talking again in our old group. Now hear me out. I finally accepted that I was gay. Then while she openly started sleeping around with men. Oh, sorry. I finally accepted that I was gay then, while she finally openly started sleeping around with men.
Yeah.
I loved her for 7 years until aww. One day she cried to me about being heartbroken for the first time and said, I wish you don't ever experience this. Aww. Like, girl, you made me feel like that. I broke down when we hung up. That when I got
stuff.
A girlfriend, she blocked me. Were the feelings mutual? Guess we'll never know.
Oh, that is traumatic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Madness. Thank you for all your stories. Thank you for trusting us, PPs.
That was very fun.
Two things I'd like to say as we leave. On the next epi, either this coming episode or two episodes from now, we'd like to talk about fighting with your significant other.
Oh, let's do it.
And so what I would hope is that you would submit to stayinguppod@gmail.com what you and your partner fight about.
Like, what is your main thing?
What's your thing? Okay. What do you fight
about?
Thing? What's your fight loop if you have one?
They say
what
that
your
first
patterns?
Fight is your last fight. Not like your first fight is the last fight you'll have, but it's like the thing you always
you'll
fight
always
about.
Fight
like
about.
Everyone has their little thing.
That's all right. We're signed up, so we're doing it. Just like we're signed up to fight for the rest of our lives about the things that we fight about.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's why I said it's all right.
Dope.
Why are your little hands so cold?
I don't know.
Oh.
I think I need to lay down.
Oh, no. But please submit what you fight about, whether big or small.
Yeah.
To stayinguppod@gmail.com.
Can't wait to read it.
Please keep brief. Please keep brief. Second thing is I have birth. I have fight with wife. Second thing is... if you would like extra content or a private room in the Discord, join us at patreon.com/stayingup. That private room called the bedroom is freaking popping off at all
times.
And
reminder for
crazy.
Anyone still struggling to get access to that room, once you sign up on the Patreon, you get an email
yes.
from Patreon. It's not very descript. We can't control what the email says and comes, but it gives you access then to the yes. Discord.
And any extra episodes are, which we call top secret episodes, those are just available straight on Patreon, which
yep.
you'll get. And we get kooky on those too. So that's
coming
it.
Out with us.
Thanks
Thank you
for
bearing with
up.
Me while I'm sicky.
Baby, you're a star today. I didn't
reading words was hard. I will say.
Well, I wasn't going to make you read the words. I thought I was just going to be reading.
I'm just going to actually be sat here the whole time. I got to toughen up.
What do you think about dinner this evening? How are you feeling? Be honest.
Are you joking?
No.
I thought you were kidding because after every episode, you asked me that. Every time you're like, what are we going to eat? Well, every time.
A, I'm hungry.
That is marriage. Ask each other what you're going to eat until you die.
I can also go.
Did you just toot?
No. I heard a noise, but it was certainly here.
Oh, it was probably the microphone stand. I was like, you're not just letting them out at the end of this episode.
I did toot at Tyler's yesterday. I didn't tell him. I didn't call it out, but I did toot.
It was silent?
It wasn't silent. I heard it.
And no one else heard it? No, they just let you get away with it.
We were laughing. It happens to me a lot when I'm laughing.
Baby.
I laugh too.
You are like an old lady. I'm like, that's what my mom does.
I don't care. That's fine. Old ladies are sick.
I love you, dude.
I love me too.
Good. All right, guys. And I love you guys. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for staying up.
Bye.